Morning and morning. It's amazing that to have that countdown of numbers helps to sort of just pull people down. The little incidental conversations seem to stop as the numbers get lower. Impressive. Okay, Sunday the 4th of July. No brass band celebrating American Independence Day. No choirs singing. Much different. Our challenge today is here in worship is to worship due to COVID without congregational singing. So if you've got a sore throat, don't worry, just sing on the inside. It'll be different, but still a great opportunity to be together. One of us up here is allowed to be singing, and the lyrics will be on the screen. But you will have to be singing on the inside. And actually, inside compared to outside is actually part of our focus for today. But until you hear David, that's my little tiny teaser saying it's worth sticking around to find out what that's all about. So to start off, we are not going to stand up. You are going to sit back and enjoy David. He's going to sing. He's not going to lead the singing. He is the singing. But I've got a bit of a plan about how you can join in. Now, if you want to, this is me, Rob, being a school teacher. If you want to join in the chorus, because it's Strong Tower, and Strong Tower is a strong song. If you want to, in the chorus goes, Strong Tower, high and glorious, etc. But it wouldn't be sung as wispy as I'm singing now, to be sung with power. Strong Tower, High and Glorious. If you want to, I'm challenging you to do Strong Tower, High and Glorious, Strong Tower, Mighty in Love, if you want to. Now, if you're a bloke, let me tell you, blokes can't do two things at once. So you are, it's just as well nobody's asking you to sing as well as do that little bit of, that's called body percussion in case you hadn't worked it. It's not patting and clapping, it's called body percussion. So it goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got it. And it also, what is happening to your fingers?
I won't be able to do that, will I?
I know, no, please don't. Please don't you try and do that. Please you do something different. Let's hear David. Listen to David.
Steadfast, you are true. When the ground beneath us trembles, your foundation never moves. Strong Tower, High and Glorious, Strong Tower, Mighty in Love. Our refuge, our defender, Strong Tower, Lord above. Strong to lead us through the shadows, strong to carry all our sorrows. When the enemy surrounds us, closing in as darkness falls, though his armies rage against us, they can never scale these walls. Strong Tower, High and Glorious, Strong Tower, Mighty in Love. Our refuge, our defender, Strong Tower, Lord above. You are my shelter, my shield. You are the same I could never deserve. Here I will stand strong tower, my dear love. Our refuge, our defender, strong tower, Lord above.
That was incredible. I mean, you guys, as well as David, that was very impressive. Now, our alternative to everybody standing up and saying, "G'day, how you going? Did you have cornflakes this morning?" is to just look around and smile and wave and make eye contact. So make eye contact with somebody. Wave, make eye contact. Please do. That's impressive. I am impressed by that. Well done. So we have had a vines wave. David's going to lead us. No, David is going to be the... God, blimey. Habits of a lifetime. David is going to be the singing for this next song, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful." Kristen, can we have our reading for today?
Yes, sir. That beautiful music.
That's okay.
Our reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 to 5. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Living by faith. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Just when you thought it was safe to come back to church. Hey, look, good again to see you all. I hope you're well. We've had to make some adjustments for COVID, and that's just one of those things, isn't it? We really need to be playing football today, and we could have had a full house, but I won't go there. All right, so let me start. Today our theme is outer and inner. Now, hopefully you can see. Give me a wave if you can't see what's going on. All right, so I thought I'd start with, as human beings, we're all different on the outside, aren't we? And as human beings, there are some consistent things that are the same as human beings. So, apart from this, I've really made myself a big challenge. It looks like Taylor Walker after his injury last night. He's feeling a bit crippled. Okay, so as human beings, what do we have inside us? Give me some suggestions. A heart. Okay, so the heart is here somewhere. Yes. Give me some more suggestions. Brain. Okay, we've got a brain up here. Yes. Yep.
A spleen.
Spleen, I think. Somewhere in there, I think. Yes. Bones. Okay, we got bones. Yes.
Large intestine.
Just do lots of squiggly lines.
Thank you. Yes. Lungs. Yes. And this is a little bit more crimped around the other side. Yes. Blood. All right, there you go. Right. Okay, what else we got in there?
A liver.
Liver, yes.
And I think kidney.
Liver, a couple of little critters over there, I think, are the kidneys. All right, so, and if you're a woman, you've got other things in there too that men don't. So, okay, so this is human being, right? This is, so what about Christians? What do we have inside of us? Apart from a terrible drawing, what do we have inside of us? Holy Spirit. Yes, that's right. I hadn't thought how I'd draw that one. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit. What other things do we have in us?
A soul.
Soul.
You put that down on the feet.
Yeah. That's nice. So I didn't quite think of that. What other things we have in us as Christians? Love. Yeah? What other stuff?
Joy.
I think we have joy. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, yes. Peace. Yep. Body's feeling fast. Compassion, I like that one, yes. I like them all. Self-control. Self-control. All right. One more. I'm happy to have one more. What do you reckon? Love. We got love there? Yep, we got love. Love, joy, peace, compassion, self-control, happiness, joy. Okay. So what is the difference between the human being and the Christian? And what we have within us?
Our relationship with God.
So what was the question I asked?
What's the difference?
Okay, so yes. All right, so the other thing I'm thinking is, and this is a leading question. And in your life here, can you grow your heart and lungs? Can you grow an extra heart and lungs? It's present time, no. We can exercise, we can increase our fitness, but we really can't grow any extra. extra stuff here, really. Can't grow extra bones, really. We can break them, but we can't grow them. What about over here with our, as Christians, our inner? How much can we grow that stuff? I've just given you the answer. I didn't think that through very well, did I? But it's interesting. The difference is that as, while we're all human beings here, there's things we can't grow inside us. As Christians, all this stuff is stuff we can grow within us, isn't it? It's our inner that we can grow. Put your hands up if you're utterly confused and more confused than where you were beginning the day. No? All right. So, kids at home, this is part of what we're trying to think about as Christians. We outside all looks different, but as Christians, there's all this stuff we can grow in, and as human beings, we have all this stuff within us as well. But the difference is, as Christians, we can grow this stuff in our life. Okay, let me share a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you continue to invite us to grow and discover things about ourselves. We pray that you would, through today's service and the rest of the week, stir something within us so that we may continue to grow and be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's why David's just fixing the lights, the curtains, so you can turn your eyes. We're not looking the sunshine right in his wonderful face up here. Come on. Okay, I'll sing this for you. During the second time through, Kristen will bring the offering down, and then David will do the offering prayer, say the offering prayer as we finish. Let's go.
Gather together, we're reminded of how much you've given to us. As we respond again today, not only this morning with our money and tithes, but we also offer again our lives to you to be used by you. Our time, our effort, our passion, our skills, our dreams, our goals, we offer to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people said,
Amen.
That's me back again.
And we're pleased about that.
Look, so today is a Holy Communion, and before we start communion, I will let you know what our process is. But today I'll preach first, and then we'll go into communion. So our theme is living by faith. And as we've discovered so far, we have an outer and an inner theme we're looking at. And this is number two in our series of Living by Faith. And I was thinking about last week, I really liked the idea of clay pots and jars. And I was thinking, you know, there's lots of ways I've described myself. I'm not sure how you've described yourself. I guess people have described me in different ways too, but I'll focus on how I describe myself. I think, you know, I've described myself as a husband, father, son, brother, friend, rev, padre, chaplain, even a major pain. Because I'm a major in the army, you see, you know that. Anyway, I've described myself as Dave the farmer. I've described myself as fit. determined, enthusiastic, resilient, someone who focuses on integrity. But I've never ever thought to describe myself as a cracked pot, or as Rob endeavoured to make the joke last week, crackpot. But I've never used that image that Paul would have used to describe himself and us as Christians. I mean, if you could use anything to describe yourself, probably chances are you wouldn't have used that image or metaphor, would you? Again, I invited you to bring a pot, and maybe we'll have to do that at the end of our time of this series, because I guess there's lots of different shapes, and that's the wonderful thing about pots. There's lots of different shapes in which people can craft them or make them. But if you were to describe yourself, what is a word you would use? You don't have to tell me. Just what is a word, one word? You know, I might be determined. I'm like a Ferrari or a roller or a H.J. Holden or a, I don't know, a moped. How would you describe, what metaphor would you use to describe who you are to someone who didn't know you? I am like a rock. I am like a gum tree. I am like a dam, a pond, a frog. I don't know. Interesting stuff. I guess there's lots of different ways in which we think about ourselves. Now, the cracked vessel, we're talking about the outer and the inner. And Paul was today really trying to remind the Corinthians, following on from his writing, about who we are. It's about living by faith. Now, there's nothing passive about Paul. Look, I think if we ever met Paul, it would be really an intimidating experience. My impression of him is just someone who would be just so forthright, just so focused. And we've met people like that, haven't we? Maybe you are one of those people. Just determined, black and white, focused, says what it is, just clear as. No wavering, no indecision, just this is it. That's how Paul strikes me. And when you look at how Paul writes, you know, it's very direct. But it's also very insightful. He always strikes me as someone who has actually done a fair bit of reflection on his life and his experience. I mean, his writing is really profound. I mean, when you think it was 2,000 years ago he was writing this stuff, I mean, I can't write as well as he did 2,000 years ago. And we're supposed to be the pinnacle of the human race so far, aren't we? You know, our technology, our intelligence, our height, our good looks. All right, are my good looks? Okay, so one of the things that Paul was confronted with was that, you see, before he was a Christian, he was a Pharisee. Again, a person who, when you looked at, you could see physically how he dressed, who he was. He was really clear as a Pharisee, Saul the Pharisee, that people would be afraid of him, particularly if you're a Christian, because he was persecuting Christians. In fact, it was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians that he had an encounter with the risen Lord. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, this event transformed Paul. Or Saul. So much so that he actually changed his name from Saul the Pharisee to Paul the Christian. Now that's a massive outer change, but it's also a massive inner change. His conversion was, yeah, he was blinded. He had to rely upon a fellow Christian to take him in and look after him. We're told it was 3 years he spent tent making and trying to figure out what this experience had been. That inner change that so transformed him was so powerful that he was actually able to endure physical suffering and pain. I mean, Paul, people were trying to kill him from the outset once he became a Christian. Once he renounced his Jewish faith as a Pharisee and began to see the Jewish faith as a being fulfilled in Jesus. He was a marked man. And people threw stones at him, tried to kill him. He went into hiding for years, moving from place to place. Now, what I appreciate about Paul is when he writes stuff, we know he's not just sitting on a beach somewhere thinking. This is his lived experience as he tries to apply the faith and believing Jesus in a context that is highly contentious and dangerous for him and others. And so some of the words he writes are these, like, beautiful words. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace as it extends to more and more people may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. So Paul is talking about his why. Everything is for your sake. So his experience of God through Jesus on the road to Damascus so transformed his inner self that his why in life became really clear. Everything is for you. And he links that word grace. Grace is one of those beautiful words that says it's an unmerited gift. It's something none of us deserve. We don't earn it on the back of our own efforts, regardless how tall, how handsome, how beautiful, how smart, how average, or whatever. It's nothing we can earn. It is a gift. Paul linked that gift with his clear passion about why he's doing things. And it sort of flows a bit back into our planned giving the other week where Paul says, everything is for your sake. It's not so much like, well, just a little bit, sometimes on a Sunday, once a month when I can be bothered. Paul says, everything. You know, he didn't say about 10%, didn't say about this or that, he said everything. And as Christians, that's our invitation. Our whole life, our assets, our family, our time is given to the glory of God. The next slide is probably the crux of what we're trying to get to today. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So we do not lose heart. You know, one of the pictures or one of the images I've really liked and that has had a lot of significance this year has been the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, when she's lost, like she's in the middle of the day sitting at this well by herself because she's been despised and isolated from her community because she's too attractive and the men just keep trying to have affairs with her and she feels compromised. And the only place that is safe for her is in the middle of the day at the heat, sitting around a well. And she encounters Jesus, who offers her something more than this outer satisfaction. An inner hope, an inner well that comes alive. Resilience, hope, meaning. Something that will help her not lose heart. So, and I suppose, you know, there's a lot of focus nowadays on mindfulness, isn't there? I'm not sure if you've heard that term. Mindfulness, it's the flavor of the decade. Mindfulness is the thing which invites us to just focus on the now. That's great when things are going well. But if something's going wrong, the last thing you need to do is spend all your time focusing on the now. Grief and loss draws us in anyway, and we end up just looking at our feet. And mindfulness can just draw us even further in. Part of the invitation of Christian faith is something more, something beyond. Even when our outer is wasting away, even if our body may resemble a broken vase, cracked, still we do not give up, Paul says, because our inner life is being renewed. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? And as bad as I did a drawing of, you know, really when you think about it, all that stuff of the Holy Spirit, the soul, the love, forgiveness, grace, joy, is the things that continues to get reinvigorated, regrown, reconnected in with. And let's face it, we need that, don't we, really, in a world where there's so many changes that happen. I mean, surprise, here we are, COVID, another restriction for this week, and hopefully that's all it is. You know, we have 10,000 people dying a day in the world from COVID. It is just an overwhelming experience at times. Perplexing, traumatic, full of anxiety, fear, depression. And Paul, who was experiencing this sort of trauma and for a variety of different reasons, his last book he wrote was Romans, and we think that was probably 50 AD, 55 AD. And unfortunately for Paul, he actually went to Rome around that time. And even worse for Paul was that there was that great fire in Rome with Nero. You know, Nero fiddled as the fire burned or whatever it was. But whatever the case, in 57 AD, Rome burnt and Christians were blamed. And it's believed that Paul had been on his way to Rome, and probably him, he along with Peter and another, lots of Christians were martyred because of their faith. And so Paul knew what it was like to experience hardship and suffering, and yet despite this suffering would talk about his inner life being renewed, re-energized. Now where else can you go in this world where we have that opportunity? Seriously. That's what I think people have missed the point about what church is about. People have missed the point about what faith is about. I mean, amongst your peers, there's really not many people who would stop and consider how they're journeying in life. Not many would have the invitation of saying, well, how would you describe yourself? So you're doing inner work today, at home, here. You are growing your faith in life by being here. We are a work in progress. The next slide. I think we should all be, you know, so have some of that tape wrapped around us, because we are work sites, people. We are works in progress. It doesn't matter how old you are a work in progress. We should all have hard hats. Fluoro jackets. Wouldn't that be interesting? We could be the Vines fluoro jacket helmeted, I don't know. I'm sure if I thought it a bit more, we could actually do some stuff. But how many of you have actually repainted your house or renovated something in your house? Hands up. How traumatic was that? Put your hands up. It was pretty traumatic. Could have been expensive. I don't know. Hands up if that one room you've painted, you've never had to touch again. 30 years, 40 years later. Nah, doesn't happen. Doesn't matter how wonderful and pristine your house, your car is, it has to keep being renovated, doesn't it? Unfortunately, painting a room nicely once doesn't mean 50 years later it's still in the same condition. It just doesn't happen. Everything needs to be reworked. And, you know, we're no different. It's a bit like when we take our eyes off of why we're here. It's very easy to get caught up in anxiety. I think the times I've been most anxious have been the times when I've taken my eyes off of my why, you know, my faith, my relationship with Jesus, that connection with God. When I take my eyes away from that, my anxiety begins to generate more traction in my life because I've begin to focus on the things I have to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't like being anxious. It's not a nice feeling at all. It's sometimes when I have too many coffees, I get that. So, but other times when it's just, I realize when I'm starting to get anxious, I'm taking my eyes off of why I'm doing this, who I'm doing this for. Paul had no confusion. I'm sure his emotions went everywhere, but he was just so clear. I love that clarity about him. As Christians, I often think that if I had to use a metaphor for us as Christians, I think I'd use the image of the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Now, everybody, have you got a picture of the Sydney Harbour Bridge in mind? The big coat hanger? And I should have actually put a picture of it. But the next slide, what I've done is, this is a worker working on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And Paul Hogan, you know, old Hogs, he used to work as a labourer, a painter on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And they used to spend all their time painting the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And when they finished, they didn't have a party, they didn't retire, they started again, repainting. And the next slide is an old picture. These are how they used to do it old style, old school, up there with a rope around their wrist, waist, painting. And why did they paint? What were they painting? They weren't painting graffiti. They weren't painting watercolours. They were painting anti-corrosive paint. Why? Because everything rusts, doesn't it? The Sydney Harbour, if you've ever seen a car in the middle of a paddock, particularly if it's a Holden, just rusting away without the right corrosive, anti-corrosive stuff, things deteriorate. And that's, I love that idea of, and actually as I was thinking about this, I mean, if you could think of God's love as being like the paint they're applying to the Sydney Harbour Bridge to prevent anti-corrosion, you know, are there spots in your life that you need to get that paintbrush out and start applying God's love all over? You know, have there been places in your life that have become pretty thin and bare because it just needs some extra paint, some extra God's love, some extra something? It's a nice metaphor, actually. I don't know, what do you think? What parts of your life do you need to reapply, reconnect with? Because that's part of the growing the inner part of life. Faith, hope, and love. Paul said that, well, this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond measure, because we look not at what we have seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. So in other words, the thing that really kept Paul going was hope. Hope is a powerful thing, isn't it? At any age. And a part of when we most struggle is probably when our hope diminishes. So I think that's the quintessential part of being a Christian, really, is that hope, is that belief that God is doing a work in us continuously. The last slide is really for your reflection. So renewal is a partnership. If God's Spirit is like paint, do you need a new way of applying God's love? Maybe your paintbrush has become a bit ratty. Maybe you need to get the spray gun out. Maybe you need to soak yourself in God's love. I don't know. What is it you need to do to continue your inner renewal in life? I'll leave you a bit of time just to think about that. One of the things I always like inviting you to do is trying to think of one thing you're taking away from today. What is one thing you can name in your mind you're taking away from today? Maybe it hasn't become clear yet, but we'll have communion shortly. Maybe something will emerge. But what is the one thing you're going to take away to work on this week? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place. We thank you for your Spirit that works on us every day of our lives to build an inner resilience on through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, communion today is again going to be different. I think we're up to plan, I don't know, LMNOP. So what we're going to do today is recognizing our 1.5 spacing, I'll invite the people down the front to come first. They will grab their bread and their grape juice and go back to sit in their seat. Okay? So it'll be a nice, slow congo, well, a congo line with COVID spacing being followed. And I think we'll probably just do one side first and then swap to the other. So hold the elements and we'll share them together. And we'll see how that goes. So as we gather for communion, one of the things I always like invite us to do is to recognize that Paul, again, you know, he wrote the majority of the New Testament, the stories about Jesus and faith in the church. And so he was a profound writer, brilliant. And again, he just was able to convey things clearly. And what he was basically saying was, for I received. So someone had told him about what happened at the Last Supper because he was not there. And he said, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, broke bread with those who were gathered and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup with its rich red wine and said, this cup is my blood of the new covenant shed for you. And Paul said that what Jesus then went on to say was that every time you gather together, the presence of Christ is here with us. So as we remember, the presence of Christ is literally here with us. With this bread and this cup, we do as our Savior commands. We set them apart from normal use and we ask a blessing upon them. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for your humble birth, for your life and ministry, for your suffering and death on the cross, for your glorious resurrection and ascension, for the promise that you will come again. Lord God, we thank you for your word and spirit that bless and move through our lives. We ask that through this time today and through this communion experience that you would live in us as we live in him. Accept us and the gifts that we have to offer our very selves as a living sacrifice. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. So let's share some of the words together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Here and now God waits
to break into our experience, to change our minds, to change our lives, to change our ways.
To make us see the world
and the whole of life in a new way. To open our eyes to the new things your love is doing in our lives and the lives of those around us.
Next slide, please. At the end of communion, I'm going to ask Rob to come up and share us in some prayers for others. But one of the prayers that Jesus invited us to pray, which is a wonderful prayer, which is a cover-all prayer. When in doubt, this is the prayer to pray. So let's share together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So for me, one of the, I just love the affirmation from Iona. It goes like this. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms open wide and welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. So today, as we gather in this place, we recognize that these are God's gifts for God's people, that we've been talking about our outer but also our inner. And so as we spend some time in communion, whether at home or here, that we would, through this experience, discover something more, grow some more deeper connection. So what I'm going to do is ask the front pew to come forward, chairs, somebody to grab your elements, plain. Do this first. We'll grab it so you can take it with you when you're up at the band. Take it with you, stick it on your muso. Are you guys playing as well? Okay, so take them up the front as well. So, and we'll go this side first. Nice little whirlwind, circular work. Thank you. So as we share these elements together, simple elements, earthly elements, but we absorb them into our body. And as we do, it's my prayer that we continue to absorb life and meaning and purpose. This is the body of Christ broken for us. Let us eat and remember. The blood of Christ, which was shed for us, again, let us drink and remember. Lord God, we open our lives to your Spirit again. As we breathe in, we invite your Spirit to fill us. We think of the different metaphors we've thought about today, whether we paint on your love, whether we grow, whatever metaphor, image we've had connecting with us today. Pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Let's share together our final, our closing part of our communion. The cross,
we shall take it.
The bread,
we shall break it.
The pain,
we shall bear it.
The joy,
we shall share it.
The gospel,
we shall live it.
The love,
we shall give it.
The light,
we shall cherish it.
The darkness,
God shall perish it.
Amen. I'm going to ask Rob if you'd like to share with us our prayers for others, and then we will have a song, a benediction, and go from there.
We have our prayers of intercession. Let us all pray. We pray to our most merciful Father, whose love has been shown to us in Christ, and to whose words we are taught to pray for one another. We pray for your church in the world, for its unity in Christ, for the fulfillment of its mission, for all ministers of the gospel, and for all who serve in the church. Grant that your people may boldly confess their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, and being obedient in all things to him, may set forward the work of your kingdom. We pray for all nations and for men and women of every race, where there is suffering and division. Lord, give them peace and hope. We pray for our own country and for those who lead us, and for all who are in positions of authority. Help them all to live in obedience to your will, to uphold justice, liberty, and truth, and to work for the peace of the world and the welfare of humankind. We pray for all those who suffer, for the sick in body and mind, for those in need and in distress, the sad, the lonely, and the homeless, for the persecuted and ill-used. Relieve their pains and anxieties, deliver them from their distress, and grant them healing and help according to their needs. We pray for the dying and the bereaved. We remember this morning the departed, those known to us who are still on our hearts, and those unknown. And in this we include the victims of the dreadful building complex collapse in Florida. We think of their families and mourn with them. But we also think of the rescue services who are working tirelessly to help them. We pray for all who have faithfully served in the church on earth. Comfort them in their sorrow, in thanksgiving and faith. Lord, we commend them to your keeping. We pray for those we love and know, for the members of our family and friends, and for all whom we have promised to pray. Watch over them and in your mercy provide for them, and keep us united one with another. In particular, we think of all who are living through the scourge of the COVID disease, for those who are in lockdown in Australia, and for those who live in countries where the disease is rampant. We pray for our church family here at the Vines, and we ask for your love and protection as we worship, pray, and commune together, but also as we go about our everyday lives. We pray that they and we may be counted worthy to enter the joy of your heavenly kingdom. Sweet Lord, we bring all these prayers in your holy name. Amen.
Just before we go, a couple of notices. So a reminder that due to COVID, we won't be having any morning tea. Hopefully that's not a shock for you guys at the back. And also, currently as it stands, the holiday Bible fun activity will still be running. We have enough space. So if you've got grandkids you're looking after or a neighbour, we have, check your grapevine for information and process, or give myself or Kristen or Ranjini a phone call, or Colleen. Again, so thank you for, again, changing, getting used to change, and rolling with that. And we're going to hand over to the musos as one of them sings.
My heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Break my heart, oh God, make it ever true. I be like you.
So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.
Don't go yet. Just listen to this last song. All of these songs, once you get outside, on your way home, stopping at the lights, you're allowed to sing them. So please search ahead and think, I'm going to sing that song on the way home.